has come to ring the jingle, and
amen. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes with a prayer. We want to remember these requests as we approach our Lord Jesus. Prayer is requested for Sister Monica Bishop, who is at home, afflicted with fever. We want to remember her. She's unable to be at a post of duty tonight. Sister Merle also, Nunez, had to go and visit her and pray with her today. She's not feeling well also. Prayer is also requested for Brother Trevor Beckles' brother. He's afflicted with unknown sickness. They said he has his whole body is covered with boils and his feet are swollen. We just want to trust God and believe God. There's a time when we believe God is working all things together for good to them that love Him. Sometimes things happen, we don't understand why they happen. We can get all upset. Sometimes we get confused, we could get discouraged if we don't understand. But if we hold fast to God's word, He said all things work together for good to them that love Him and to them who are called according to His purpose. We should be encouraged to know that our God is able to work all things for our own good. Such a wonderful opportunity to serve a God like that. One who cares and one who understands. He said, cast your cares upon me. And if we care to believe His word, how much more will He care to bring it to pass? Let us look to Him in prayer tonight and believe. And if you didn't send a written request, maybe you have an unspoken request. Maybe it might not be for physical healing. It could be for some other need. But the song says, God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. And He can do what no other power can do. It's so good to know that He's all-powerful tonight. Almighty God, we bow our hearts in Your presence. And Father, with deep appreciation for the grace and the love which You have so freely shown unto us, not looking at our faults or whether we would merit what You have given unto us, but because of love, the love that You loved us with, the love that moved You to reach out unto us who were so insufficient, so unworthy, so weak in our own selves. But You who are strong bore the infirmities of us who are weak. For this we are thankful, Lord, that the love of God, so rich and pure, have been so clearly demonstrated unto us through You, Lord Jesus. Father, as we stand here tonight, knowing that there are some, Lord, that is sick in their bodies. They've been afflicted by the devil and their health has been broken down. Devil, no doubt, will try to bring them to a premature grave if we could. But Lord Jesus, because of Your promise, we can stand here and look to You tonight. Knowing, dear God, You are the high priest who are touched by the feeling of our infirmities. God, just to know that Your word says this, it encourages us, oh God, to take that word and come before You with faith in our hearts, believing, dear God, that if two or three would agree upon touching anything, it shall be done. There is no reason to doubt these things tonight, Father. So, Lord, as a believing people, as a believing church, God, and knowing You are in our presence tonight, we bow our hearts and we confess our sins and our shortcomings. We confess our unworthiness. We pray that your precious blood will blot out all transgressions. And dear God, we pray that you would touch these, our sister Monica, in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said you sent your word and healed them. You're still the same tonight, Father. We have that word. And we can exercise our faith and we send that word of healing on the wings of a dove, the dove of the word, the Holy Spirit. And he will go forth, Lord, to our home tonight. Hallelujah. And Lord Jesus, you will touch her and make her well for the glory of God. Even our sister, my Lord, as we offered prayer for her and knowing, oh God, that she's there believing tonight. But Lord God, as we gather here with the entire congregation, I pray, dear God, that the presence of the living God would so sweep down in that place, Father, and raise her up from that affliction, Lord, that she'll be well for the glory of God. God, we condemn that sickness. We condemn that devil in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, even our brother Trevor Beckles praying on behalf of his brother. God, may you, Lord God, through the witness of your word, through the prayer of faith of your people, that the Spirit of the living God would bring that man, Lord God, to a realization that you died on Calvary cross for him, Lord. And Father God, may through the ministering of these things unto him, that Lord God, faith would strike his soul, that he might move into that channel of faith that would bring him to that fountain. For Lord God, we know faith brings us to the power, and the power produces the promise. Lord Jesus, we are asking tonight that Lord God, you would begin to move, and Lord, your Holy Spirit would bring him, Lord, to this great knowledge of your grace and mercy, that he might receive what you have done for him. Grant, dear God, and if there are those that are standing here tonight with a special request in their hearts, Lord God, regardless of what it is, I pray that the spirit of faith moving through this congregation now, Lord God, would fall into their hearts. That faith, Lord God, would cause them to believe, to look unto you, the author and finisher of their faith. And Lord God, may the Spirit of the living God minister unto that which they have need of. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless our gathering tonight. Lord God, visit us in a special way through the ministry of your word. Lord God, may faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. May the word be so direct, so personalized. May that word, oh God, create a faith and inspiration of our hearts, that we can rise up and recognize our position and recognize what you have done for us in Jesus Christ, what is available unto us now through the divine grace and provision of Almighty God. The Lord, the Spirit would speak to our hearts. It would move us into that place, dear God, that we can see your church moving leaps and bounds into a higher faith, Lord, into a higher ground tonight. Grant it, Lord. We commit this service into your hands, asking the divine leadership and direction all that we undertake to see and do. And Lord, in the strangers and the visitors within our gates, Lord, we pray a special blessing for them, even them that might be on their way coming to the house of God. Father, may the Holy Spirit bring them quickly, safely, O God, and right into your divine presence, where it's not channeled to receive from thee. O God, may you grant these things. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Lord God, in these last days that we have to serve you upon the face of this earth, to live and to carry on this word, we pray, dear God, that the Spirit of the living God would work with us in a greater way, Father. God, we are expecting great things. Oh, God, move amongst us tonight, Lord. May you get honor and glory in your service. We will not fail to praise and thank you, for we ask these blessings and mercies in Jesus' wonderful name. Could we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen means so be it. We believe and we agree, and may it be so. Praise be his wonderful name. God richly bless you. We're certainly happy to have you all that is gathered here in the house of God tonight. Know some of you come in a little late, and our first service, midweek service, is a curfew, and you know, we normally have it on Thursdays and try to shift it on Wednesdays. It might be give us a way that we might be able to work both here and in our relocation program or building program that we have at Abel's Country. But we trust these things will just work for God's glory. Amen. Turn with me in the Bible tonight. We'd like to invite your attention to the book of Daniel again. So we're just going to try to spend a little while, sojourn here in the book of Daniel for a little season. We believe that it is so timely that we know where in the Bible, you know, God wants to speak to us from, and the things that are happening, the things that are spoken through the Spirit in this book. And we believe we are living in that time when it's coming to pass. But Curtis Carr want to give God thanks for the safe delivery of a baby girl, his wife. Amen. Giving birth to a little baby girl, another addition to the family on Sunday. May God richly bless them. Amen. Amen. Filling up that quiver slowly, but God just know how to do it. Just know how much it's going to take to fill it up. Amen. We also want to extend a warm welcome to Michael James' boss, Mr. Marcus Baker, who is here, I guess, invited him to service. May he feel comfortable and really welcome in our midst tonight. Amen. I'd like to read out to Daniel chapter 4. I'll read now to Daniel chapter 2 on Sunday. I'll take back another little portion, but just to begin here tonight to bring another little message that we could just lay some background when we really begin to strike the prophetic things in this book. But I more want to speak to the local church and try to minister to the places where we need to be built up in and where it's going to really help us in the days to come. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream to them, but it did not make known unto me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. To him I told a dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation of it. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height of it was great. The tree grew and was strong, and its height reached unto heaven, and the sight of it to the end of all the earth. Its leaves were fair, and its fruit much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow on thee, and the fowls of the heavens dwelt in its boughs, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried and said thus, hew down the tree, and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. And let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Notice it changed to a personal pronoun here now. All them is saying the tree, its leaves, its branches, see, its fruit. But now they're saying, and let him
The watcher is saying that the one come from heaven who is giving the command to cut it down. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth, and let his heart be changed from man's, and let a hard beast be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. That's what the voice of the Holy One, the watcher who came from heaven, was saying. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living inhabitants of the earth may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Men like Pharaoh, men like Herod, the basis as a man, God has set up there and give them power, give them glory. See? Yes, sir. God did it. Men like Stalin and all them fellas, Hitler, God set them up their basis of men, and God give them power. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation of it. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the Spirit of thy holy gods is in thee. Let us pray. Hold that place in the Bible. Let us pray. Oh gracious God, as we stand here in your presence, we read your word. It's so awesome. It's something about it, Lord. It's so awe-inspiring. And even, Lord, as Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel, because he perceived in him at the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Holy God, as he expressed it, something supernatural that could give the interpretation of the supernatural. So we inquire of you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would give us the interpretation, give us the inspiration, give us the meaning of these things as we would read tonight from your word, that what we would draw from this text, for our context, it would serve to bring faith in our hearts and bring us to a knowledge of your will and how we should walk in these last days that we are living in. For we believe your word was written for this time. It was sealed up, but it has been revealed in these last days. God, speak to us tonight. May faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. May the word be so simple, may it be expressed so clearly, that even the strangers, the visitors, even, Lord God, the unlearned, God could grasp something and see your great plan, see your great grace and mercy, Lord, that we might receive you into our hearts and live for you. What a blessed opportunity we have, that we could come and hear your voice, hear your word. Knowing, O God, and how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? Oh God, let the word go forth. He said, my sheep will know my voice. Let it be your voice. Let it be your word. Let your sheep hear it, Lord. I know it's not a man, but it's the Spirit of the living God. That we can perceive the same way Nebuchadnezzar perceived it. That we can hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Grant it, Father. We ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. May have your seat. I want to continue reading a little bit again that we hear the interpretation. It would be good for us to stop there just to hear the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar so desired to know the interpretation. And he felt it was a special dream. It wasn't just something maybe he ate and fall asleep and just, you know, drift into a dream or something. But the Bible said, when he spoke to Daniel, he says, I saw a dream and it made me afraid. It takes a lot to strike terror into the heart of a man like Nebuchadnezzar, who was the head of gold. When he saw his former dream and he saw his great image,
And there was not a man like him upon the face of the earth, as far as was given authority and a kingdom and power and glory and wealth and majesty and riches. He had conquered the known world in that day, and his kingdom was a superpower. And in his great vast empire, he had hundreds of countries, of nations, of languages under his control. His kingdom spread throughout the entire earth. Amen. He had ambassadors. He controlled trade and commerce. Amen. He controlled the sea. He controlled the land. Amen. And later on, we're going to see as we read that he was given even the peace of all the field. Amen. God given him so vast was his empire. He fought for it. But God gave him victory and God allowed him to conquer. And God used him to chastise nations that was disobedient to God's word. Because Jeremiah told Israel, because you didn't believe me, because you didn't believe God's word, because you rejected God's prophet, my servant Nebuchadnezzar will come and take you into captivity. You know, people don't understand that. But that is God's word. Sometimes you see something happen to a family. You see something happen to a man. You see something happen to a nation. And people get dread and they want revenge. And they protest and they cry out and the media blasts all these things. Why is this happening? But God permitted it to happen. And unless we don't know God and understand God's will and know how God bring divine retribution upon people and how God chastise kings and nations, we'll just talk like the unlearned and the infidel who don't know the word of God. But when we know the word of God, when we know the ways of God, when we know the plan of God, we can see what a man sowed, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Is that the Bible? Amen. So we want to read a little more, because this man saw a dream. This is a man who walked in and conquered Egypt. We read in the Bible, before he conquered Israel and took them into captivity, he had just finished conquering Egypt. Moving to Egypt, invaded Egypt, take them over, broke their power, took them back as slaves, then moved to Israel, captured Israel, lay a siege around them called famine, took the king. Read in the Bible. He took the king and the king's sons. He killed the boys before his father's eyes and then put the man's eyes out. The last thing the man saw was his own sons dying before him. Directly after he killed him, he put the man's eyes out. As a form to break him. He was a ruthless man. But they lay that seed so strong like they're doing right now. Like they have an embargo, a land embargo, a sea embargo. Nothing can go in. It's a siege. Well, that's when they begin to have famine begin to take them inside there. But the army and the kings had to flee. And they was waiting for them. They chased them and they captured them. And then they came back and he took their princes. He took the great men, the senators, all the diplomats, all the ambassadors, the government ministers. And they burned their houses. They killed them. Everything. Read in the Bible. That's what he did to Israel. They broke their power. Burned the libraries. Burned the churches. So they broke them as a religious power. Broke them as an economic power. Took the smiths. Took all the industrialists. Took all the learned people in the land. All the teachers and everything else. Took the finest of the youths. The most intelligent. They screened them. Give them certain intelligence tests to weed out the best ones. So that they might strengthen their own kingdom. When they left, they only left the poor people of the earth. That the most they're going to do is do a little farming or something. They broke them. And that is the way that they did. And that is how he made his conquest. If you look in the Bible and see Nebuchadnezzar, how he conquered, he went forth conquering and to conquer the king of Babylon. Amen. Great, great, great grandson. You know, so I can't say much greats, but he come right through Ham and them. Amen. And out of Ham, you know, came Nimrod, that mighty hunter. Amen. Who was also a king of Babylon back then. So you see these people, you know, this man was a fearless man. And this man saw a dream. He could march into an army, and you see a city, you see big high walls, You see trained soldiers. You see the latest of weapons. You see great generals who are not afraid to lead the troops into the battle, and it never should strike fear in his heart. Yet the man got a dream and it struck fear into his heart. Yes. Amen. Yes. But a man going to Vietnam and fight and come back out. Fearless, take on the enemy. Amen. Rock the troops of the enemy. I'm going to lay on their bed in the night and get a dream and have them horrified. Have them shaken up. Amen. Until all the bones are, you know, begin to rattle inside of them. The joints come loose. Amen. God have a way to strike terror into the hearts of people. Big high people. Amen. People who don't care about God, don't care about humanity. People who see themselves so powerful. Amen. People who feel their money could buy anything. And it don't take much to do it. The man was so struck. Amen. When he had that dream there, he was so shook up. My. He was terrified. He began to tremble. He began to seek help. Like before, he went to his great learned men who walked through his kingdom with all their degrees. Amen. Doctor of this and doctor of that and doctor of interpretation of dreams and doctor of psychic powers and all kind of different things. Not one of them could say what the dream meant. Amen. Glory. He didn't say why he didn't call Daniel at first, knowing the last time when he called that big school of soothsayers, they couldn't come up with nothing. And he still go back to them. I guess maybe political pressure or something, but he wasn't a man to be pressured. But sometimes, you know, people have a pride. And you just can't maybe give a set of precedent in your kingdom that you keep going to a Jew or somebody when you have your own people and you like to say that they are a higher class of people. See? Have to go to a slave or something. So, you know, he went back to those same men. And they didn't know, they couldn't tell the dream. But then when he came to Daniel and he spoke that dream, a dream that had supernatural beings in it, a dream that was in the form of symbol, he saw someone that he called a watcher or a holy one coming down. Who could look at a big tree and say, "Heal it down." Maybe the way the man say alone, "Heal it down." This great big tree whose branches reach all in the ends of the earth. And then all the beasts of the field used to get shed under that tree. All the fowls of the air used to be in that tree. All the flesh of the earth used to eat off of that tree. That tree sustained, amen, the entire planet almost. Had its roots deep. Amen. No man dare lay an axe in that tree on earth. But this hero from heaven, this one from heaven, this watcher. Amen. Descending with eyes like a flame of fire. Maybe with feet like brass and a sharp two-edged sword out of his mouth. He said, "Heal that tongue." Because this matter is by the decree of the watchers. By the demand of the word of the holy ones. His case has been tried. The verdict has been given. The sentence must be passed. The judgment must be executed. Let it be. Have no court of appeal. Amen. Swift justice. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, I tell you, God knows. It struck him. He was terrified. So terrified. And then here Daniel now. Daniel listened to the dream intently. In verse 19, he begins to give the interpretation. Let us see what Daniel perceived of this great dream. I think many of you, maybe you read what Daniel said, you already know who the tree was. If the spirit of the same God is inside of you, amen. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was perplexed. My, he was astonished. For 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Amen. How is he going to tell this man this interpretation? That's why maybe he's astonished. He'd have to pronounce first, before the first dream, he had told the man, he says, "Oh king, you are the head of gold." You know, God of a way could show people lives in different symbols.
Nebuchadnezzar wants them to have a goal. Nebuchadnezzar next time is something else. Amen. The king spoke and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or its interpretation trouble thee. He knew Daniel knew it, but he knew he was a little reluctant to speak. You know, like Eli, when he knew Samuel had heard God's voice. And Samuel didn't want to really tell Eli because of judgment upon Eli. And he said, son, he said, you speak. He said, whatever it is, I have to take it because it's God. Amen. You speak. And Daniel said, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee. And the interpretation of it to thine enemies. In other words, he said, I wish that this thing that I see and beheld in a dream be upon your enemies instead of you. Amen. Be upon the people who hate you instead of you. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight of it to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and its fruit much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heavens had their habitation. It is thou, O King. You are that tree. You dream about yourself. Amen. You dream that though you walk on earth here, your case was already tried in heaven. While you're walking about here, having a good time, flourishing in your palace, resting in your house. As I was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace, I had a dream that made me afraid. Now let me tell you, this is not a story about Nebuchadnezzar. This is a revelation about how God dealt with man on the earth. It is thou, King, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watching and holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of its roots in the earth. In other words, don't completely root it out. Don't pluck it up by the roots. Just cut it down and leave the root, because the life is in the root. And it could have restoration. Even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let him, notice that him, personal pronoun, be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. That is what the holy one, the watcher, was saying. So Daniel is telling that holy one, that watcher that you see come down and say that. It means in heaven, it decreed that seven times that I pass over you first. See? Just like how he says, 6 inches long. It's a certain time designated for you to be in a certain condition. that was decreed. The matter is decreed by the watchers. It's by the demand of the holy ones. This is the interpretation, O King. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass like oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. There was something that God wanted this man to recognize, that this man needed to know. And it was going to take 7 times to pass over this man. In other words, 7 years to pass over this man. You will get such severe trials that are going to bring this man at the end of them 7 years, that he will know that this thing here, this dream, that when you come out of it, you might get a good little humiliation. It might break your pride, but when you come out of it, you will know that it's not by your might or by power, it's what God in heaven has done for you. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be shown to thee, after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Don't bother about your kingdom. He says, it will be shown to you.
You're gonna go there and you're gonna come right back and sit up power and sit down and rule again. Because you can't even die out there. Don't even get so sick eating all that grass. And you're like an animal out there in the bush. Amen. It's only to teach you a lesson that you will know certain things. Is that right?
Yes.
All right now. Watch how God deals with us. Because the matter was decreed in heaven. That the living might know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Amen? So that's why Daniel now, what was decreed in heaven, is revealed to Daniel as the earthly angel. And he is speaking it to the man. Telling the man, this is what that means. He saw God decree the matter in heaven. But Daniel is telling him what it meant. Just like when Jesus spoke to Saul. And he said, Ananias, and said, go tell him afterwards. Like Isaiah and Hezekiah. Many places in the Bible you'll find that. Verse 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be shown to thee after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness. Daniel is telling him now, he says, that's what it meant. But king, let my counsel, let what I'm speaking to you tonight, amen, be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. If there may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end, see, all that came upon him. All what was in the dream came upon him. All that he saw that was decreed that, and the judgment that was to be executed came upon him. But this whole thing is just a proclamation Nebuchadnezzar himself given in the form of a confession after he was restored back from the sickness. At the end of 12 months, notice that from the interpretation before the judgment struck, there was a 12-month period that he had a space to repent, that he could have a lengthening of his tranquility, he could have break off his sins of righteousness. But what's something? At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? See self? I built this Babylon. This is my kingdom. This is my majesty. The same thing that was bringing down the wrath upon him, he will humble himself. Watch and see. And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee. The hour of his judgment had come. Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The third time it was spoken. Because that is what, where his problem was. He thought he built that. He thought that is his achievement. It was given unto him by God. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hands were grown like eagle's feathers. His ears were grown like eagle feathers, and his nails like bird claws. The spirit of insanity came upon him. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. You see, he went insane. It fell upon him, he lost his mind, and he thought he was an animal. And that's why he went out to the field and eating grass. It's the type of insanity that was upon him. And I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor Him who liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. You hear the confession now? Exactly. And none can stay His hand and say unto Him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways justice, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase. Amen. I'm taking up our title tonight, The Heavens Do Rule. Because that was what the experience was all about. That was the consciousness that he never had. And because of lack of that consciousness, he never humbled himself, but he walked in pride. So God had to abase him, and in abasing him, God humbled him and removed that exalted spirit from him and his knowledge that he exalted above the word of God. And then he could accept that what he had, God gave unto him. And then he could humble himself and openly confess and acknowledge that it's God who is ruling in the heaven and God who is ruling in the earth. And nobody could tell God what to do. Amen. Glory. Let's turn back in the Bible. Let's read a little bit here still. It's good to read. Blessed is he that readeth. So I get this also. Daniel 2. Now this was about 23 years or so before what we just read. And here we go back to when Daniel was praying for the interpretation of the first dream that Nebuchadnezzar had received from God but couldn't remember. And you remember how that one was the image with the head of gold and the thighs of brass and the legs are chest of silver and the thighs of brass and the legs are iron and the toes of iron and clay. And then a great stone was colored out hands and smote the image and drunk it to powder. And then that stone became a great mountain and filled the earth. And he couldn't understand what it meant. He even forgot the dream. Nobody could call back the dream, but we found out Daniel in the Bible went and prayed, and God revealed it to him. Let's read verse 19, chapter 2, Daniel. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to those who know understanding. You might learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and never come to the knowledge of the truth. Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He giveth knowledge to those who know understanding. That's why if you have an ability to grasp things and know things and have insight into things and perceive things, knowledge puffeth up. If you don't know where knowledge comes from, where true the wisdom that's from above. There's one that comes from beneath that is earthly and sensual. Is that right? Yes. There's one that comes from above that is pure. In the book of James, talk about it. So Daniel is saying, it's God who removed kings. It's God who set up kings. It's God who gives wisdom to the wise. It's God who gives knowledge to those who know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth. Now the recipient may not always know that it's God. And they may not even sometimes want to inquire where is it coming from. But sometimes it's good for us to know what we have received. It takes somebody to give it. And all that we have received. Amen. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. And verse 36, you know, from verse 24 to 35, Daniel tells him back the dream. We know that. I took that Sunday, so I want to save a little time here. This is the dream, and we will tell its interpretation before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven had given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Who gave it unto him?
God, the God of heaven.
That's what Daniel was telling him. Daniel told him that years ago. And now he had another dream, and he saw it was a great tree. And he said, it is my kingdom. He had heard it. He was told it. But he didn't take it and realize and humble himself quite back there. He kept on going along. That's why we hear the word over and over many times. But we don't take earnest heed to what we have heard. Sometimes we have to run into problems with God. Sometimes we have to run into situations. But you see, whether God's word is now or 23 years after, God will not change. And God don't change his mind about his word. Do the lesson you have to learn. Does God give it? That you will know. He give the kingdom to whoever he will. He rule in the kingdoms of man. And God showed that by the very first dream that he had. Yet he would not take heed. Let me get another scripture. I want to get a Daniel 5. Just a couple of references to nail that down a little bit, because I'm speaking on the heavens do rule. And I want to put some scripture here as a foundation for that. Daniel 5. This is after Nebuchadnezzar died. This is in the time of Belshazzar, his grandson. And here we find that in verse 18. Just we want to read one verse. So where Daniel repeats back this long after the death now of Nebuchadnezzar, when the kingdom was going to fall now to the Medes and Persians. Because Daniel lived to see it actually become history. Because when that 70 years ended, that 70 years ended with the invasion of the Medes and Persians and the decree of Cyrus for them to go back in the land. Exactly as was told by Jeremiah and Isaiah and them. Notice, verse 18, Daniel 5:18. O thou king! He's talking to Belshazzar here after the handwriting came on the wall. God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Notice that his heart, his mind, and his body. Body, spirit, and soul. Was wet with dew, the dew of heaven, till he knew the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Isn't that wonderful? Daniel is telling back his grandson that. In other words, you should have known that your grandfather. You might have been a little boy in the kingdom that time, growing up, going to school. When your grandfather had that experience, you might hear about your grandfather time when he gets insane and was all out there like a wild animal out there eating grass and different things. The great king who was the head of gold had been humbled so low and humiliated like that because of pride. Is that right? And then they never learn. If within his household he had teach his children, if within his household he had instructed them, if within his household he had learned those lessons, They look at his grandson here now, coming into that problem, into that situation. And what came and happened was, he took the vessels of God from the temple, began to desecrate them, and God is going to judge him now, the judgment that God had told Nebuchadnezzar about. How the kingdom would be given over to a weaker nation than them. From the head of gold is going to come to the chest of silver. Is that right? And that was the hour for it to happen. And Daniel was right there. The one who saw the dream, in the vision, in give the interpretation, was now living to see the very prophecy coming to pass. Because he told him before, the dream is sure and the interpretation is true. Is that right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Had no getting around it. Daniel sat right there. He didn't have to wait to see the Medes and Persians. He didn't have to be called out that night. But God did it because he was the witness who spoke it first. So God let him stand right there and see his word come to pass. He was an old man now. But he was seeing how the word of God is being fulfilled in its season. And he reminds the man, seeing the same spirit that brought the downfall of his grandfather inside his boy. He said, God, the God of heaven, I give him your grandfather. He said, father, but he was grandfather. You see, they call it like they say, Jesus is the son of David. You know, David's son, the son of that son. You see, they call him son, but his grandfather, great grandfather. So you find then that what is happening here, Daniel knew. In more than one place we have read, and even his prayer, God removed kings and God set up kings. And in heaven, they wanted them on earth to know whether they're in government, whether they're in power, that the heavens do rule.
Amen.
Whether you're using superpower in the earth, you must still know the heavens do rule. Jeremiah 27. This is even before Nebuchadnezzar come to invade them. Even before Daniel saw the head of gold. Even before Daniel saw the tree. The big tree and interpreted what it meant. Look at Jeremiah the prophet. Because it was the spirit of God in the prophets. God in sundry time and diverse manners spake in times past in the prophets. Who was the prophet? Christ. Christ is the prophet. It was Christ in Daniel. It was Christ in Jeremiah. Look at the word of God coming to Jeremiah. Jeremiah bringing it forth to the king of Judah in his time. Let's take from verse 5. As Jeremiah thundered forth that word to that king, while Israel was yet in the land before they was invaded and taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe while Nebuchadnezzar was fighting, trying to conquer Egypt. But God was telling Israel, you in line for judgment next. You in line for invasion next. That exactly what happened. These are not strange things. Look out there. All them troops going there because it says if they invade Kuwait, next thing they invade Saudi Arabia and take it too. Like Hitler invade Poland, he take Czechoslovakia, he said take France, you want to take Britain. You just going one after the next. Conquer and to conquer. See? So while Nebuchadnezzar was in his conquest, taking Egypt, here was God speaking to Israel because they was going to be next in line to be invaded by Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah thunders forth the word to the king, the political leader, the ruler over the people here. But what the word coming to the prophet, or what the prophet speaking God's word. He says, verse 5, I have made the earth, God of creation, see that? Genesis 1. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm. And I've given it unto whom it seem right unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him or shall enslave him. So God was prophesying the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar, capturing Israel, Nebuchadnezzar conquering the whole world, and then Nebuchadnezzar himself dying, and his kingdom under his sons and his grandsons finally going to come, and they will be enslaved. Amen. Is that right? Amen. And he ain't dreamed the dream yet. Amen. He wasn't even king of Babylon yet. His father was king. His father died and he became king. See? That's why it says when he had a dream in the first year of King Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed so and so. So back here, look at him leading the armies, the troops in battle, going for the conquer. And the word of God telling Israel, it's no sense to gather your troops. It's no sense to bring all the sophisticated weapons. It's no sense you employ your troops and your artillery in all them strategic places. It's no sense you hedge down there and take up positions to fight everything. It's because you already give me to the hand. Sure. The battle is already lost and you ain't shoot an arrow yet. You give it to the hand. They're going to take you into captivity. And the only thing you're going to lose the battle here, they're carrying you in a strange land too. He said, and furthermore, you'll be down there for 70 years before you come back here. Is that right? All of you read Jeremiah 25, right on through there, where the entire prophecy and all the details was given, and you see exactly how the unchanging God works. Now I lay that little background there, to bring this little subject on the heavens do rule, and I'm thinking for a little subject, the execution of judgment from the court of the watchers. Because before things happen on earth, the people here is decided in heaven. Whether they're going to be ruled and become a great king, and whether they're going to conquer people, or whether they're going to have great power and wealth and majesty, whether it be a rich man or a poor man, how long your sickness is going to be in life, it's all here in the book. It's all there in God's plan. Is that right? Amen. Amen. God was showing it. And whether you are going to, when you are going to be humble and you're going to go through your sicknesses and those things, is already there. It's already recorded, because whatever we go through here is decided up there. Amen. And that's what this book of Daniel reveals. This book of Daniel brings us into the reality of how close the two worlds are interconnected. The unseen world and this physical world. Because we find the book of Daniel, Gabriel was coming. An angel was coming to this man. This man was seen a man. He said, the man Gabriel came to me at the time of the evening oblation. And the man Gabriel spoke to me. And then, he would see these visions and these things. And God could reveal such a great volume of truth to us in little things. Because as we read the word of God, it's so minute that as we begin to speak on it, it becomes so amplified. It's filled with so much that our mind can hardly contain and grasp the depth and the volume and the reality that is contained in this word here. And that's why, through prayer and meditation, seeking God and studying His Word and working before Him and loving His Word and delighting yourself in His Word, He can make it so real to you. And the greatest treasure you can have in your heart, the greatest riches that you can acquire, would be to have His Word. That Word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against Thee. Teach me Thy truth, O Lord. Teach me Thy ways. Amen. And here we see that this Daniel 4, it was really a state document, because it addresses his I in Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. We read it and we saw it addresses I in Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all the people and nations and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. That's the greeting of a Christian. You just read Paul's epistles, you see Paul who addresses him like that. The Spirit of Christ in Paul. But you see something that happened to Nebuchadnezzar. This man was such a ruthless man. This man who, was a barbarian, a pagan, a heathen. This man, who was so proud and lifted up, is now addressing the people. And he said, I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the Most High God had wrought towards me. He has done great things for me. Bless his holy name. Amen. He had come to a place to know it was by God's decree. Amen. It was like God who had blessed him and God had seen it fit to reveal to him. You know, sometimes God has choose people, certain people, to do certain things to. Because it would reach the places God wanted to reach. It would have the influence God would want to have. You see, that's why for the gospel to be spread and for it to be presented in the way, God had the people ordained and designed to do it. Then in every phase, every area of God's economy, God, you know, has things in such a way that we all are serving His purpose. And the more it can be revealed to us, what place God has given unto us, how He requires us to serve Him, and then what He's expecting of us, we would be able to carry out His word in such a way that it could be to the glory and praise of God, that we could be in harmony with heaven, that we could have heaven blessing and backing upon what we do. And if God be for you, who could be against you? So Nebuchadnezzar, you know, wrote this state document and published it as a way of giving his confession, how his pride brought his fall, but how it was the divine plan of God who he never knew nor served. And what the purpose of his sickness was really about. People might have seen him and wonder if he's going to have a relapse. Wonder if it's a hereditary thing? Wonder, you know, maybe he drink too much? Somebody poison him? Maybe the evil spirit from the soothsayers, they put a spell upon him and they're doing some obeah or witchcraft upon him or something or the other? But when he explained it, it was because of his pride, it was because of something, the way he walked in the earth and came out of himself, it was something that God wanted to show the world through him. How do we know that? Because in verse 17, it said the matter is by the decree of the watchers. The Holy One who had come down was speaking in the dream. When he tell him, cut down this and scatter it and shake his leaves off and scatter his food and run the beast of the field that feed off him and that shade on him from around the earth. Because the matter is by the decree of the watchers and by the demand. And it is the demand by the word of the Holy One. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. If God wants to raise up a dictator to run out a oil sheik into a place, the workers shout and do what they want, that's the business. Amen. If God wants to take a prime minister and be stripped and humiliated and sit down right in the seat of authority, but in the midst of a corruption debate and all these things, while all these things is going on, and you humble them, God can do it, and then put them back in the seat of power afterwards. That's God's business. It's God's word. If we see the Bible and we understand God's ways, and we realize that we all belong to Him, and He can do with us whatever He wants to show His glory, to let us all know it only have one true and living God. Amen. And He rules in the affairs of man. Because there's a greater power. There's a greater authority. And that's God Himself. But so many times people don't go there to see the real origination, where things originate from. And that's why so many people are confused and depressed and frustrated, because they're trying to change it and try to change it and do this and do the other and all kinds of different things according to their own whims and fancies and influence of men's ambitions and these things. But when you can discern and see clearly the plan of God, the word of God in operation, my friend, let me tell you, even though you have different plans, you humbly submit yourself and your plans to the plan of God. To the revealed, vindicated word of God, if you want to progress and have success with God. The That's why Moses, when he saw the heavens do rule, he saw Pharaoh kingdom was going to come to naught because God was going to judge them for entreating people evil for 400 years. He saw if he sits down there on that throne, he's going to have real problems. That is not the way to bring God people out. It was by a mighty hand. And Moses, being, you know, when he began to see the word of God coming to pass, he took the way where the Lord despised you. Is that right? He didn't try to get the throne. No! He left the throne and went to the mud pit. Whatever plan his mother might have, whatever plan Pharaoh might have for him, but he was falling into the plan of God because he knew the heavens do rule. Amen. So in Daniel 4:17 here is where we want to see that is where it really was decreed in heaven. Because it shows us that there's in heaven there's a court known as the court of the watchers. They call them watchers in the book of Daniel. But I want to use a more message term. But it said, watcher is an observer. See? A watcher is that you investigate. Today we understand, we can get a better word than when the translators would try to find a watcher. I think they want to say investigation angels. Investigating angels of judgment. That look down the affairs of man on the earth. There came only the time of Sodom before God destroyed it. There came only the time of Noah. There came only the time of Babel. Is that right? Yes. They've been appearing everywhere in the last days. Watchers. Watching what they're doing in the Pentagon. Watching what they're doing in the Kremlin. Watching what the CIA and the KGB is up to. Watching all the crooked politics in Rome. How she manipulating the kings of the earth. Is that right? Yes. Watching them in the ecumenical move. The watchers are watching them. Hallelujah! And the judgment is already decreed in heaven! Babylon is fallen, is fallen! The hour for God's wrath to come upon them! And there was a prophet in mystery Babylon! Amen! But when the mystery handwriting was on the mystery wall in these last days! Hallelujah! Who caught the heavenly vision and who revealed that the end of all things in the hand! The Gentile world is fixing for destruction! Is that right? And when that last day prophet messenger has come forth in this day, Malachi 4:5, Revelation 10:7, and sounded forth the divine truth of God, that is why we are wake up tonight, that is why we run from denominations, that is why we run from man-made systems, that is why we're not going to be tied in the air under no false creeds and dogmas, but that is why we come back to the only truth, God's word. Hallelujah! Amen! And we have come to a realization when these seals open, amen, of the Bible is only the expression of one goal and one purpose God had. Amen. It was a secret in the back part of his mind. In nothing new happening on the face of the sun. Because the heavens do rule in everything. The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with gladness. Glory be to God. There's only one way. Amen. So here in Daniel 4, we learn from this that there is a court of watchers. Amen. And it was by the decree of that court to which the case of Nebuchadnezzar had been referred. They were discussing him in heaven. Is that right? And when the time for the administration of justice to take place from that court, he was condemned to live like a beast in a period of 7 years. That was the judgment. When the court sat on his case, when the time, there was going to come a 12-month period to a space to repent. And by failure of that, then the judgment that had been decided upon was going to be executed. And God, rich in mercy, before God brought the man to that condition, before the 12 months had expired, he had a man there on the earth could have tell him what his dream meant. Is that right? It came from heaven, and there was one who was part of that heavenly system, had a heavenly calling. Is that what Hebrews says? We have a heavenly calling. God representative on the earth to speak what is in heaven. Amen. And brother, here it was. It was brought to Nebuchadnezzar, he got the he was informed of the matter. He was informed of his case, that his case was tried. He was informed that it was decided upon what the judgment was going to be. He was informed through a dream. And he felt the dream meant him. So it made him afraid. He became scared when he dreamt that dream. God showed him in that dream what was going to be the rest of his days. Yet some people, through the dream and through the witness of a servant of God speaking back the word to them, yet it never brought the humility. Even though God had spoken years before, telling him those things. But you see, it is because of, we walk in this world and we walk without understanding. And God is far from our minds. We have gotten away from the sky billions of light years away. And we walk very complacent here. Not knowing. As the prophet said, he said, angels go back and forth taking reports of the children's behavior. Is that right? Yes. Didn't it when it came for Ahab to die? Did a council in heaven? Yes. Saying it's time for Elijah's word to be fulfilled. Ahab must die in the battle, this battle, not the next battle, this battle. Yes. And he must die at the going of the sun. And they must bring his blood back in the chariot so the dog will lick it and fulfill Elijah's word. Yes. So we have to get him deceived to go up in the battle because the heavens do rule. Yes. You're not going to disguise. You're not going to go and try to fool somebody with your pretense and disguise. It's the heavens that rule. Not your disguise down here. Amen. The purpose of that decree was that the inhabitants of the earth might know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, Trinidad and Tobago, Venezuela, Guyana. Let me start right in the Caribbean here. The USA, Canada, sure, France, Germany, Italy, Russia, but even out there in Kuwait, in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq, in Iran. Even some base men got rid of power like the Ayatollah and all them fellas. He give it to whomsoever he will. When he wants his word to be fulfilled in a certain season, he must have the right man there. Pharaoh who don't know Joseph must have him there. A Cyrus telling the people go must have him there too. One to bring bondage, one to set the people free. God we're talking about. But I want to show you that God will just rule in the kingdoms of man. I'm tackling it like that. I tackle the heavens do rule. I want to show you God rule in your life. The heavens rule in your life. I want to show you that God rule in your job. I want to show you that the heavens do rule in the church. Amen. And God didn't just want to give Nebuchadnezzar revelation. That was all the living ones might know. That is the principle of faith. When you know God is in control of everything, God holds everything under his supreme control. There is no more fear. There is no more doubt. There is no more wondering. Amen. There is no more confusion. Because heaven consists of his word. Amen. And especially in the light of the modern events, all what has happened in the world today, we've been speaking on it. I want to show God ruling wars, how he stopped the wars. God, stop it! Yeah. That's enough fighting for now. Put up your guns right now and have some peace. Yeah. Instead of building science and different things, I permit you to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Amen! Yeah. And they all want to go to war again. The third war coming quickly. Yeah. But he hold them right there, they can't move while he's sealing up his elected ones. Why? Because the heavens do rule. Amen. Amen. You know what they want to do? You think God had control of it from the Garden of Eden? He's going to lose control in the last couple of years? in now self, it's been fully revealed and realized that it's God who rules. Yeah. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And you know, you see, especially now in this last hour, we have seen it in such a real way, how the exaltation of rulers of kingdoms. This one stands there and criticism. Your coup will not have that. You'll have to destroy it. That is the way it's going to be. I am going to put the enemy back there. Nonsense. If God wants it, then he's going to go back. If God don't want it, shut him out. Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory. Because when they set out to kill and remove one king, God said, it's not time to move him yet. Leave him right there. You have to go back to his seat. Shake off a few leaves. Shake down some fruit. Amen. Let the chain remain right there in the tender grass. But don't pluck it out by the root yet. Hallelujah. You see, God is in charge. And that's why I want to bring it to you, to bring faith to you. That nothing is going wrong. Nothing is out of cater. Amen. That God give us grace to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. To walk in step with Him. To walk close to Him. To walk with confidence that His way is right. To let Him lead us. To find the humility. To confess. To acknowledge we cannot lead our own selves. We need God to lead us. Not to trust in our might or our power, not to get arrogant and conceited and self-centered, but to know all that we have, all that we are, is by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. And you see the exaltation of all these rulers in the last days, rulers of the kingdoms of this world, and we hear the threats and we hear the boasts. Oh my, they're just, you know, exalting themselves, and they're going to do this and they're going to do that and they're going to do the other. The next one, the one New York says he's going to build back the hanging gardens of Babylon because he has the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. God in the Bible is going to be desolate. Yeah. Amen. You're not going to build back nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want to go back to that garden. We want to go back to the Garden of Eden. Yeah. That's the garden we're thinking about now. Amen. No other garden, brother. That's the garden. Yeah. Amen. To go into the millennium. Amen. So in spite of what they want to do, it looks like the whole world is, you know, is praying on the knees and they're crying and they're wringing their hands and they're wondering what's going to happen, man. The world could blow up. These fanatics with these nuclear weapons and look how tense the atmosphere is. Look what's going on. We don't know what to do. People are getting paranoid. You have to feed them and tranquilize them and keep them from being nervous wrecks. See? But then, that isn't going to change anything. You aren't going to change that thing. What we need is a revelation of the will of God. Yeah. We don't have to worry about it, I wonder about that. What we need to know is what is God's will and have a heart to walk in it. Yeah. Amen. Glory. We may have to give up a few treasures. We may have to give up a few nice, fine feathers. Amen. We may have to kind of get a little despised a little bit. But we'll be willing, whatever it is, for Christ's sake. But we're not trying to covet this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Amen. We're not living for meat that perisheth. We're looking for the eternal things. Amen. The meat that will not perish. Because when the kingdom of this world is passed away, there will still be His eternal word. There's one kingdom that will be forever. He said, pray, thy kingdom come. That great stone is going to set that kingdom up. Amen. So in spite of what they want to do, in spite of the threats, in spite of what they're going to war, in spite of what they block the whole region, who says, I'm going to block all the other things? They're going to say, we're going to stop everything in sea and land and air. Nothing going to go through. We're going to squeeze his neck. We're going to take it back. We're going to give it back. We're going to do this over here. Amen. Let them talk. That while they're fighting, fussing, he's sealing up the bride. Amen. He's gathering the elect together. Amen. Amen. He's getting them ready for flight. Amen. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. My. Glory. So if we can grasp the depth and the reality of that divine truth, that the heavens do rule. If I would know that tonight, I would be bothered about this. I would be bothered about some little man, some little boss, some person to beat them threat down your neck, some little puny man, some little worm who want to kill you and your family and burn down your house, and you better don't pass back here. Nonsense! Yeah. Amen. Look at that prophet. But of gold, the enemy coming to his countries, yes. Made infrared lens, snipers in the night to shoot him because of his stand against Catholicism and blasted communism and these things. Yes. He said, but they can't touch me until God is finished with me. Yes. Satan can't do a thing to me until God is finished with me. Yes. Amen. Why? He had come to that realization. He had found that channel. Amen. Where there could not be no fear. Amen. Hallelujah. Where a man or a woman could walk in a revelation of what God will is for them. But if you could grasp the reality of that truth, it would bring rest and assurance to our soul. You'd be worried about nothing. You'd worry about inflation going up and your money can't do this. The heavens do rule. God can feed you. They don't feed you. The heavens do rule. Amen. God is determined to give man that revelation. God so loved Nebuchadnezzar, and God so determined to give that truth. God bring the man right down to go like an ox, a beast in the field and grass. Take away his reason from him. Make him walk with the mind of an animal. Thinking he's a beast. You got a beast. Reason. Come back to me. We need to pray and seek God. We need to repent. Amen. When you do, don't you walk in pride, God abates them. If you humble yourself, you shall be exalted. Humble thyself. How are you going to go in this new ministry? If you humble thyself, then you'll see why Christ speak. Amen. Hallelujah. Moses is the meekest man on the earth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. My. But he can humble himself to the word. Oh my, you're so chained, a prisoner, you couldn't do nothing. He said, God, if you don't go up, I ain't going. Amen. But he had no faith in his own ability or no nothing. Don't care, he was no scientist and could teach all the Egyptians in Egypt, like Daniel too. Daniel knew, Daniel expressed it. He said, God, it's God that removed kings and set up kings. It's God that's doing these things. Amen. Isn't that what Colossians 1 says? 16 and 17. As we can see in the emphatic dialogue too, it says, because in him were created all things, those in the heavens and those in the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or governments or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And he precedes all things, and in him all things have been permanently placed. He created for him, for his own good pleasure. He owns everything. He has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Is that right? Amen. Amen. And that's what I want to do here as we, in the light of the modern events and what's happening, and knowing that those things are being foretold in this book of Daniel, and you're just feeling the Holy Spirit. And you see there's a special anointing to be opened. We open this book here. Open this book here right Sunday morning and tonight. You see, something happening. It's the Holy Spirit. He knows that. Amen. His word. See? Because there is something inside of there now, for now. It looks so mysterious. It seems so confusing to people. It seems so strange in there. But yet, brothers and sisters, everything that is happening in the earth right now is laid in this Bible. We don't have to be confused. We don't have to get our mind blown by propaganda. We don't have to be exploited by the media. No, sir. That's the reason the devil's howling, because his scheme has been uncovered. Amen. We know Satan's not going to get none of us unawares, only if you disobey the word. Amen. But brother, the Holy Ghost have uncovered his scheme already. Amen. Now watch. and we've been trying to bring it. I took Sunday the stone that smote the image. Because that's the kingdom that's been established now in the earth. Amen. Yes, the dark kingdom has come to us. The word has come to us. That's his kingdom. And it's been made power now in our lives. What is the kingdom of God in you? He says, the word made spirit and life in the believer. Is that right? That's his words. And since we went to the book of Daniel, you know, we took it in some times past, back and forth, and bring different things. But, you know, in going back into it, I thought, in the, you know, before we really hit them prophetic things, I try to bring the message simple these days. Just bring it in a place that the little ones will get it. Just put it out there enough they can speak to our hearts, get the feeling in our hearts, and that's about it. And leave the rest to God. Amen. Back over the years, I labor and labor, and there are teachers and trumpets and bells and thunders and tied together and misbehaving, intervalents, all of kind of different things. It just confused people. Amen. It's not for them, it's for me. God give you a little more hidden manner you can teach the others. That's what it is. They give you a little more you can teach the others, wasn't it, everybody? See? So then it comes to a place. I said, Lord, when I come back, I've seen so much people in church. Do they know what's going on? You meet someone, you're talking about time. You understand what's being preached? You're getting it? You see how it's doing? When they tell you what they get, they ain't getting it. Because it above them. And that's why we come back, we've got to get to Sunday school and get them at their level and get the other people at their level. And I want to have some meeting with the young people and get them at their level. Find them the place where they can walk and serve God in the capacity, in the measure that God is dealing with them. And that's why I find it in bringing these messages here. I just want to just throw it out right there and just put it in there, because many of these have been taught and it's on the tape. You see, it's not nothing new to come. It's been revealed. The fullness of the word has been in this church for years. You see, but it stirred up your minds and put you back in remembrance. And God is emphasizing other things because of the present happenings. That in the light of what is happening, we will not be left without understanding. Amen. We will know what's happening. See, I was in a parent-teacher meeting yesterday, and you know, I listened to some of the people talking there, the teachers and the guidance officer, the ministry and all these things, and you know, listen to them talking, because the boys get ready to take a common entrance this coming year, and they wanted the parents to come. And you listen to the people, they speak, they have no idea what's happening. They have no idea the world and the time. And sometimes, you know, they talk without a vision, without direction. And they're under a strain and struggle, poor people, because the whole system here has fallen apart and gone for years now. Yeah. And you have all kind of politics and false promises, like trying to pump a flat tire. Give the people hope, but tell us. Because they can't even live what they're talking to. Because it's a bunch of cosmetic, it's only painted up things. They can't make that into reality. They're only trying to keep themselves in power and keep influencing the people. But there's one reality, and there's a God that can make better whatever you have need of come to pass in your life, if it is according to his will. And that's where the real power of God is. Not in the politicians, not in the systems, not in the church of the world. The real power of God in this country and any country in the world is where the word and this message for the hour is. It's where God's pride is. That's where the real government, that's where the real justice is. That's where real life is coming forth. That's where the highest authority is being executed. That's where the wisdom of God is. That's where the spirit of God is working. Amen. And unless we don't wake up and realize that, but if we look at unions and leaders and politicians and all kind of people outside there who don't ignore the right hand from the left hand, already smitten, blind, and burst darkness. Amen. So I'm just trying to bring little messages here out to Daniel before we really hit them deep prophetic things. Because when you get there, we must take Daniel and Revelation together. But I'm bringing these things here, just throwing it into that will serve as a foundation for what's coming. Because then when you shall strike those things that's happening now in the end time, then you will know that all those things have been smitten by that stone. That stone has already come. That stone is here. That stone is doing exactly what Daniel saw that stone doing. But we need eyes to see it and to understand how it is taking place. And the heavens do rule in 1990. You think the heavens don't rule in 1990? I was just back in 623, somewhere back there, in the Nebuchadnezzar time. No, that's in 1992. Yeah. The heavens do rule. Every king, every monarch, every potentate, yeah, and every nation. The heavens do rule. Amen. And you watch and see. Because now we have to close. Got to close because it's time to get you off. But just let me make a few more comments here. You see, it wasn't only to but it is for every son and daughter of God. For this truth, it brings to us clearly the sovereignty of God. It's not my decision, your decision, somebody's decision, direct how things going. If we don't speak by God's inspiration, we're not saying nothing. It will fall to the ground. But when you speak God's word, heaven will pass, that must come to pass. That's God's thoughts being expressed. Amen? And as we see the sovereignty of God, what happens when a man begins to see the sovereignty of God? Then you don't fear the devil, you don't fear get lost, you don't fear this happening. No. Because the sovereignty of God opens up the channel for us to see the predestinated mystery of God's will. Because Daniel, when he saw the first vision, he said, you are the head of gold, but your kingdom will never last. It's going to fall one day. He said, I'll tell you who's going to come in after. The Medes and the Persians. God could name the nation. It might be a smaller nation. It might be a nation maybe didn't even have a good army maybe at the time. It might be a nation maybe didn't have a military-minded people and who knows strategy and warfare and men working the science and these things. They might be some just a solitary stargazers or something. But you know, in countries and times, it seems to happen. Look like after World War II. Look at America being the leader of the world in science. Look at the Russians. Look at under that sixth trumpet. Under the sixth trumpet, you know, we speak many times about Hitler and Eichmann and them. But that's just one part of the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet is World War II. And if you understood what happened under that war, after World War II, Germany was destroyed in the war. Japan was the first nation that suffered nuclear bombardment. The atomic bomb, when it was invented, was first used in Japan. And them two nations were devastated in the war. But look, after World War II, they rise as a military power. They rise as an economic power. Both of them. Come back in the race in another way. Come back, enter the war, re-enter the war, but in another realm. Fighting on the battleground of markets and ideas. And the Japanese with the technology and this, and the Germans there. A superpower in Europe, and now united to become one Germany. Because why? It was ordained to happen right there at that time. That wall was ordained to be busted up and torn down. So communism could decommunize and give the strength and power to the beast because it was written in the Bible, because the heavens do rule. God removed the kings one by one. Amen. Brother from Brezhnev to Andropov to Cherenko to all them until Gorbachev come in and he started to communize and shake up and reform the host instead of a perestroika. But they don't understand what's happening. A man was raised up as a king in the earth, a king of Russia, king of the north, right for that very moment right here. The bust of that wall. Sure. Look at them, Pope Paul the Sixth, Pope John the 23rd to John Paul I, and God keep removing them spiritual kings of Rome, of Babylon, mystery Babylon. And then they bring this one who traveled the world over 90 countries in a few years. Tied the whole world together. What they meant to the Vatican and couldn't do. Why? Because the heavens do rule. The generation that see Israel become a nation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Bring God's word to pass in this hour. Amen. And brother, that's why when we see the acceleration, we see the rapidity, we see the way things are moving, how we need to really move up in this presence, how we need to begin to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, how we need to come into real consecration, say, Lord, let my life be a picture of your letter written by your own hand. Take my life and make me be, amen, consecrated, Lord, to be whatever it takes, Lord. Come into a real surrender to his word. Amen. Because if this message has been opened up to us and we don't know that the heavens do rule, but that the Holy Spirit already said, the white horse rider will change the red horse rider even before it happened. It said the red horse rider will change the black horse rider, and the balance in his hands and measure it for a penny, measure body for a penny. Is that right? And he said, and watch them, unite them the last days afterwards. But right at that time, there'll be an eagle saying, come and see. Amen! God foretold it to the letter. The same way Daniel spoke of the nation, God spoke of the church and the different realms it was going to go. Amen! I don't have time. I can't get into the message tonight. Really bring it right down to every individual level to show you whether the nation or the church, the heavens do rule and everything. But it is God's sovereignty, the channel for us to see the predestinated mystery of God. Amen. God, unto this end were you born, for this cause you came into the world. God put something in your heart to believe this message in the last days. God, through his divine grace, brought you to hear it. When it struck your heart, something spoke to you. And you can say, that is the truth. I believe that. That's the word of God. That's real to me. Amen. There's something inside of you. You couldn't be satisfied with a church. You couldn't be satisfied with a lodge. You couldn't be satisfied with some creed and dogma, some Nancy story, some fable, some man religious opinion or something. You wanted reality. You say, if God is God, then there must be truth being revealed. Amen. To show what God wants of us. Amen. But we'll see that how God in his grace, he was unfolding the new Nebuchadnezzar, the predestinated mystery. His case was already settled in heaven. His case was tried. I wonder if our case have been tried. And that's why we went through what we went through. And that's why so much times had to pass over us before we could get back in step. And why because our case was tried and your tree was shaken down. You understand me? God let you grow tender and nice, grow and become strong. God bless you. You had fruit for many to eat. Many can come over your tree. Many tried to stone down your tree, but it couldn't affect your tree neither. Amen. But your leaves wasn't within. But how are you walking, my friend? How are you walking? Do you recognize it of God? Do you recognize God's grace to you? Do you recognize it's not by power? It's not him that will it or him that run it? Do you thank God and praise God for what He has made you and for the grace of God? Amen. His case was called in the court of the watchers. And after the matter was decided upon, he was informed by a dream of the verdict. A dream could tell you what's going to happen to you. Amen. See, the court was held in heaven. And the matter was settled, the judgment was decided upon, the verdict was proclaimed, but the king never repented, he never sought pardon and mercy. Sometimes the word of God coming forth telling you exactly, repent, change your life, do this, line up with the word, walk in line, stop them loose things, tighten up. You don't do it. Problems come, you run to a minister to help you. He can't help you, you have no call of appeal. Is it Daniel before Hawking can tell him to pray from there? He couldn't do it. It was decreed in heaven already, 7 times will pass over you. Daniel says, maybe you pray, you'll be lengthened of your tranquility. Because repentance, quick repentance, can always stay the hand of God's wrath. Amen. See, then at the end of 12 months, his face to repent had been expired. No action was taken, no response from him. Amen. Just a blatant neglection of so great a salvation of the grace of God ministered unto him by an anointed servant of Almighty God who had a revelation to tell him what was God's will for him. Then the only thing left was swift judgment had to be executed. He had to serve the sentence. There was no court of appeal. Some of you serving the sentence tonight? But thank God, God can restore. God could bring back. God could set free again. Your home, you may not lose your home. Amen. You may not lose your job. He said, he'll come back and really short to you. Hallelujah! But in the end, they're going to come back with a confession. Your lips shall praise him. Your soul will bless him. You'll lift up your hand in his name. You'll say, thy loving kindness is better than life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. But what a thing struck his heart. Amen. I just want to find refuge in his word tonight. I don't want nothing else. Take the whole world and give to Jesus. Amen. You do what you want. Amen. But brother, when I look and I see the hour, when I see what is happening, when I see a man lift up themselves, when I see how the rulers of this world speaking and what they want to do, and they talk like if they are God themselves. Amen. And I look in this Bible here and know that Hebrews 13, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am God and I change not. Malachi 3:1. Is that right? Then the heavens still rule here in 1990. You know what man says, brother? But he said, I will make God think an evil thought. I will put a hook in his jaw. I will pull him down in that particular valley of Megiddo. Not no other valley, not no other country, that special place. And that is the place I will take. I will judge the nations of the world. Not in the Gulf, in the valley of Megiddo. Hallelujah! It's where World War III will be fought. Hallelujah! Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. But when we look and we see the word and we see the reality of God, when you see it on that level, when you see it in your own life, when you see it in the church right here in your midst, how we should embrace the word and walk close to Him. Amen. Wouldn't you like to walk close to Him in this hour? Wouldn't you like to be true and faithful to His word? Amen. Not to be frustrated, not to be wondering, but to know He holds tomorrow. Amen. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. Life is worthwhile living just because He lives. Let us all stand to our feet. Let us worship Him tonight. Let us sing and give glory unto the King of Kings. He only is God and there is none else beside Him. Hallelujah. We praise You, Jesus. We give You glory tonight. We thank You for Your wonderful words of life. We thank You for the blessing. We thank You for the inspiration. We thank You for the love of God. We thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, dear God, how great Thou art. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, wonderful Savior, let that revelation explode into every heart that they might know, dear God, You are in control. It's all right. Hallelujah, it's all right. As long as I have my God beside me, it's all right. As long as I'm under His control. Hallelujah. As long as He watches over my soul, it's all right. Oh God, may we never dread nor fear. But Lord God, may we hold Your unchanging hand tonight. Lord God, may You drive away the fears. Drive away the doubts. Bring this reality to the hearts of Your people, Lord. Bring them, Lord, to this place of divine revelation. May You so inspire it, Lord. May You so strengthen them, Lord. Lord, Your sheep and Your lamb. You said, feed my sheep and feed my lamb. Oh, God, Your sheep and Your lambs, Lord. Bless them tonight. Lord, with this sheep food, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Blessed be Your name, Father. Blessed be Your wonderful name, Lord. Glory be to God in the highest. God, may we humble ourselves. Make us humble, Lord. Make us simple, Lord. Let us not be puffed up, Lord. Let us not be exalted, Lord. But oh God, in the depths of humility, Lord. Lord God, to know it is only You. Without You, we are nothing, Lord. Oh God, without You, we can do nothing. Without You, we'll surely fail. Without You, we'll be drifting, Lord, like a ship without a sail. Oh my God. Rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, let us hide in Thee tonight, Lord. You are our everything tonight. You are our all in all tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future and life is worthwhile living just because he lives. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Oh, put your hand in his hand, my friend. Hey, don't be scared tonight. Amen. Don't worry about people praising God. Amen. Let everybody have breath. Praise God. Bless his holy name. He have done great things for us. Hallelujah. Oh my, every head bowed, every eye closed in sweetness with real substance, faith as we feel his presence fading down in our souls with his great expression of faith and confidence that we have in him. Oh God, we don't want to be self-centered in any way. We don't want to be self-opinionated. We don't want to be exalting ourselves in any way, but in humility, in sweetness, oh, in surrender. Thank you, Jesus, because he lives. Because he lives. With real faith, I can face tomorrow. Because that's that stone that was cut out of your hands. Who's going to rule the kingdom of this world?
Oh, yes,
his kingdom will remain forever. Because he lives. Oh, what an expression of faith. Sing it again. Because he lives. We know he lives in our hearts. His living presence, his living word is here tonight, making us alive. Because I live, you shall live also. Christ is that great stone living inside of us, growing. All my friends are gone. All I know. He holds the future. Oh, we believe it. Our Lord Jesus, giving honor and glory, praise, might and power and dominion be unto him, for he's worthy. There's no other God beside him. We have our head bowed, our eyes closed. We'll invite Brother Anthony Jennings to come and pray and ask God's blessing and dismissal tonight. Oh, how we thank him for his great grace, his wonderful presence, his goodness that he has so freely given unto us. Blessed be his name.
Lord Jesus, Lord, how we want to thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Father. Thank you for being Lord, Father. Thank you for being the ruler over everything, Father. Lord, we could see you ruling, Lord, in your creation. Lord, we could see you ruling over everything, Lord. Over the human life, Lord. Over the botany life, Father. Over the little plants, the birds, the bees.
Hallelujah.
Lord, every little thing, Father. Lord, we could see all these things accumulating all around us, Father. All these modern events. Lord God, we thank you, Father, to know that you rule it over everything tonight, Lord. And Lord, we want you to rule most important in our lives, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Lord, in every thought that we will think, Lord God. Yes. Lord, in every action, Lord. Everything that we will do, say, and think, Lord. We could see you moving and operating in us, Lord God. Lord, that we know it's you that is ruling our lives, Lord. Having the preeminence. Lord, we know we have come down to this time, Lord, in this great junction time, Lord, in your word, Father. As we see that millennium, Lord God, getting ready to usher itself, Father. Lord God, a new kingdom, Lord God, is making way to come in, Father. Lord, and we are subjects of that kingdom tonight, Lord God. And Lord, we so thank and praise you for your word tonight, Lord, that is preparing our lives, Lord, and making us ready for that place, Father. Lord God, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Lord, how it has come, Lord God, and given us encouragement, Father. How it has come and given us a greater faith, Lord God, in you, Father. We so thank you tonight, Lord, for the wonderful time that we spend in your presence tonight, Lord. And we pray that you will continue to open up your word unto us, Father. We know, Father, that it is a fountain of grace that is open unto us, Father. Lord God, and it's springing up, Lord. More and more and more is coming out, Father. Oh God, it's springing up in our souls, Lord. Oh Father, we so thank and praise you tonight, Lord. Once again, Lord, we thank you for your servant, Lord God. Oh Father, we thank you for every brother, every sister tonight, Lord. Father, the visitors, everyone, Father. And we pray, Lord God, that as we'll meet again, Lord God, that your presence will be so rich with us, Lord God, that you will speak from heaven again unto us, Father. Oh God, and as we go home, Father, we pray that you will go with us, Lord. Take us safely to our homes tonight, Lord. And we pray that you will so keep these things meditating in our hearts, Father. Lord, we'll go home, Lord, in the little quiet time, Lord, and study your word, Lord. Seek you, Father. Lord, that you will come and give us revelation and crystallize these things to us, Father. Oh God, may you so have your way with us, Lord, as we go home now, Lord. Have your way. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Could we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. May have your seat. There's a little announcement before you leave. Now remember, next service is not on Sunday. We are permitting on Friday as usual. But on Sunday, the service is not here. But it's 2 p.m. with the wedding ceremony. And it will be in San Fernando, in Coquille, at the other tabernacle. Amen? So, convey the message to those who may not be here tonight and who may need to be reminded. And we also want to announce that, you know, if you don't have your own transportation, and maybe you have a lot of children and it might be difficult, that the option is yours. But if you think you could manage, then it's not a problem. Because, you know, you may have to come to San Fernando with your children. And, you know, sometimes people have 3-4 children they travel with, and then they get to the tabernacle, and they go to the wedding, and then they have to travel along to the reception, and then that is kind of off the route like, and then from there, then they have to travel back with the children. So it may be easier for some of you to go straight to the Naparima Bowl. That is if you think you'd like to be right there in the ceremony. But that we say that because of consideration. For those who it might be difficult to move on with children, you're waiting to get a taxi and you can't get an empty one sometimes right away or whatever it is. But if not a problem for you and your faith tells you, sure, you know, God has taken care and made the arrangements for you and the heavens rule and everything, just go right to by the grace of God. Amen. But just that we say that too, knowing the building up there only holds about 150, 200 people for the most of your pocket, and that's what the building there holds, and you know, it wouldn't be able to accommodate everybody on Sunday, so to make it easier, then we can. It would not be wrong or against anything if you feel led to go down the other way. Oh, amen. As we would leave, we have about 4 minutes. We can just sing a little song on our way out. Bible says, "Sang a hymn and went out." Amen. Amen. Enjoy being here tonight.
Amen.
You appreciate this word in His presence? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. 98, I believe, in the only believe books. Amen. Number 90. Amen.
His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, all of all earth's kingdoms conquerors, whose reign shall never cease. Oh, my heart may never cease in his hurt. What a time. Amen. Number 17, the melodies of praise, if you have one. Amen. All praise to him. All praise.